A few years ago, they did a research project over in Thailand. They wanted to see what happens if you take two types of approaches to make a difference, to share the gospel, to see people sort of come to know Jesus. So there was a group of people who went over, and their role, their goal, their sole approach was to just go and look for opportunities to bless the community. Just find little places, you know, might be helping someone out or providing food hampers or doing something to bless the community. They had another group that went along, and their whole role was to try and convert, to go in, to maybe pass out tracts, to maybe try and talk to people about Jesus and say, you need to know Jesus. You need to, we need to convert you to the faith. And they were left there for 2 years to play out, to sort of see what happens with this group, what happens with that group. What were the results? What sort of happened? Well, the blessers saw a measurable difference in the community that they were a part of. The whole fabric sort of started to change just within those 2 years. Community life was improved. The sense of togetherness and neighborhood across the people increased. The converters actually didn't seem to make a difference. Didn't seem to be much change at all in the area that they were a part of. But the biggest finding, which was just crazy, and it blew those who were doing the research away, because they weren't really expecting this. They weren't necessarily surprised to see those who bless would make a big difference. But the blessers saw 48 conversions, and the converters saw one. Those who were sent just to bless, just to look out for, just to care, just to look after, actually saw 48 times, it's nice when it's a ratio of 48 to 1, it makes doing that multiplication really easy, 48 times more people actually decide to follow Jesus than those who went there with that as their goal. That they said, we're going to go and convert, but actually in doing so, they only saw one. What is it about having an attitude of blessing? What is it about just saying, you know what, actually, we're going to go out there and we're going to be people who look for opportunities to serve without necessarily expecting anything to come back in return? How can we be people who actually make that our focus, our approach, is to just bless and take those opportunities to bless and actually trust that God can and will use that in advance? We're continuing our series today, looking at BLESS. So the five letters of BLESS written by Dave Ferguson stand for begin with prayer, listen without judgment, eat together often, as I said, my favourite letter of them all. And then this week we're the first S. So the first S is serve your community. And I want us to really dig into how important to evangelism is serving others. How important is it for actually being able to share the good news with someone that we would find and look for opportunities to serve them, perhaps even before we share the good news? In fact, the last S, which is next week, is when we finally get to sharing your story, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. And all of these others are encouraged to occur before you even get to that place. So just how important is serving to seeing people come to know Jesus. I'd love you to jump with me into John, John chapter 13, looking at Jesus and some stories around him today. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I want to pause there because there's actually something really significant about this moment. Okay, Jesus knows what is coming next. He knows the days that are ahead for him. He knows the suffering that he's about to go through. He knows the pain that he's about to experience. Where is his focus? It's on his disciples. Even as he is ready for and prepared for and knows what's coming next, his heart and his attitude is right there on the other. I love how it words it. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. That no matter what was going on for him, no matter what he was kind of preparing for and getting ready for, he always had a heart for the other. He always found a way to turn his focus and his attention towards the other. We continue on and it says, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is scandalous. This is not something that you would do. And again, you know, we kind of lose some of the context here, and you might have heard this before in other contexts, but think of that time. What was going to be the dirtiest part of the body? The feet would be disgusting. They didn't really have shoes. They weren't in clothes like us. If they were lucky, they had some kind of sandals, but the vast majority of people walked around bare feet. The roads weren't bitumized like our roads were. Their feet were covered. And the reason why this was something that was done at a meal is just like we would wash our hands before eating food now, you kind of need to wash your feet because who knows where they've been and what they've trodden in and that you're bringing in while you're sitting around eating a meal together. So the role of a servant, the role of a slave, was to come in, take the basin, take the towel, wrap it around, wash everybody's feet so that you could eat. And we sort of read this idea of being a servant and go, oh yeah, Jesus, no, this was just not done. We'll come to that again in a moment. Continues on. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet. I will not allow it. It cannot be done. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So what's playing out here? Is cultural. It's the reality of the culture. They live in an honor-shame culture. Those who are honored have the highest and the best seat. Those who are shamed are shunned to the side. And never shall those who are honored come down to those who are shamed. Never shall it be that those who are above would do something for those who are below. It's not only like odd, it's like, no, this just it just can't be done. No, you will not do this. You will lose your honor. If you are honored and you were to come and wash the feet of those who are down below you, you would come down and be like them. That's how it was seen. It's scandalous for this to happen. And so Peter, rightly, he's almost trying to rebuke Jesus, being like, Jesus, do you not realize what you're doing? And Jesus is like, yes, I realize what I'm doing. In fact, that's the point. And unless you allow this to happen, you've missed everything that I've told you. I haven't come to just do the things the way that everybody else in the culture does them. I'm not living each day to just do what's expected of me. I'm bringing a whole new world. And one of the main reasons we don't have an honor-shame culture, or at least we haven't historically, I actually think it's starting to creep back in. But the reason why the honor-shame culture was turned on its head is because of the story of Jesus. It's this very story where Jesus started and then taught his disciples and said, this is how it must be. It continues and says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that I am. Now that I, your Lord, and he's been very clear to say, I am your Lord, I am your teacher. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. He's wanting to be clear here. He's wanting to be honest and say, I'm not lowering my position. I've not taken off the role of being your Lord and teacher. I am your Lord and teacher. But just because I have that role and that title does not mean that I can't come and serve you. And that's what's different. That's what my story, Jesus is saying, is going to bring into this world, into this culture. Doesn't matter about your title, your position. The highest, which Jesus was, can come and serve those who are lower than him. And that is how it should be. He's not lowering his position. He goes on to say, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. He's not making the servants come up higher. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed if you do them. This is what my kingdom is going to be. And the reason the honor shame culture was turned on its head is because Jesus had the propensity to come and actually say, just because you have a position doesn't mean you can't serve. And in fact, those who will follow me, they will be known as people who actually put aside what they deserve. They give up what they're owed. Jesus didn't deserve to die on a cross. And yet he gave everything of himself so that the other could be saved. And that is the model of faith. That is how we are meant to interact with our community. That is how we as followers of Jesus are meant to be known. You know those Christians, I don't agree with what they say, but man, do they give of themselves. They never ask for anything. They never expect anything to be done the way that, you know, they might deserve to have them done. Wow, they're just so servant-hearted. Is that how Christians are described by our culture? Is that what people see? Is that the experience that people have? I can't speak for beyond us, but that's who we need to be. That's the kind of church that Austin Cove needs to be known as in this community. Yeah, they serve. Yeah, they're there. Yeah, they really look out for others. It's not about them and what they can get. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives a really good picture what it looks like to follow Jesus. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, because you are, if any comfort from his love, because you should have comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that unites us, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Wait a second, you mean we all have to think the same? Hold on. He's going to describe what this looks like. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So how do we do this? Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. How do we become like-minded? Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. not looking to your own interests. But each of you, each of you, each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Oh my goodness, being made to look like a human. Oh. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And if that's not enough, it wasn't just that he died. I mean, it's not great to die, but even death on a cross, that's the lowest of low deaths. It's designed to humiliate. It's designed to show how utterly contemptible the person who died was. He gave himself to that place. Therefore, because of this, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do church people get along? How is it that we have unity? Well, if we all just fight for our positions because we're right, we will, you know, they will come around to my way and we will all think the same. Has that worked for anyone? Have you tried that? Anyone? Yeah? No? Have you been to those members' meetings, you know, where that happens? What's the definition given? How do we become like-minded? By thinking of the other, by serving the other, by looking for any excuse to look beyond ourselves, to serve, to follow the footsteps of Jesus himself. That's how you get unity. That's how you bring things together. That's how you change a culture where honor and shame was embedded in the way of Rome. It was not just embedded, but it was cherished, it was honored, it was, this is the way it should be. Those who earned it, well, they're honored. But the second you do something wrong, the second you don't live up to what everybody else expects of you, you are shut down and there is no coming back. If you find yourself in shame, there is no forgiveness. If you do something which is not what's expected of you, you're done. You're now shamed. But the way of Jesus came and said, those who are honored will serve those who are shamed. In so doing, they turned the whole thing on its head. Dave Ferguson, in his book Explaining Bliss, says this. Jesus told us straight up. He didn't beat her in the bush. He wasn't like, you know, kind of, oh, you know, like maybe think about possibly. No, he told us straight up. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He modeled for us that once you begin with prayer, listen, and eat with someone, there's a good chance that you'll discover how you can best serve the person that God is asking you to bless. This is why this is so important. This is why we want to own as a church the blessed lifestyle. I don't know if you noticed, but on our Austin Cove Way document, that at the moment is a piece of paper that in time we're trying to make actually part of the very fabric of who we are. That this kind of lifestyle is just how we will live. For those who call Austin Cove Church home, we will begin with prayer. We will be praying for those who we know, who we're in relationship with, who are far from God, who we kind of look and go, there's no way that person will ever follow Jesus. Like, have you seen what they do? Have you heard what they're up to? I mean, do you know the questions that they've got? I don't have answers to those questions. I can't tell them what the answers are. Okay, I'll start with prayer. Maybe I could listen to them rather than, you know, correcting them and telling them what to do. Maybe I could listen for once. I guess I could eat with them. Yeah, I could go out and catch up and just sort of, you know, spend some time. Oh, wow, they told me about their house, how they've got, you know, something coming up soon, and I could offer to go and help them clean up, or I could offer to go and do this, or, oh, they've got a friend who needs some food. Yeah, I could offer some food. And as we invest in people and as we live lives with them where we almost earn the right to be a part of their lives, we will find opportunities to serve. And it's not serving with an outcome in mind, because you can't do that. It's just serve, just serve, just serve, just serve. Look for those opportunities. And maybe, just maybe, moving ahead to next week, you might be invited to share your story. Because you took time to follow Jesus. See, the very heart of following Jesus is serving. Serving others is at the very heart. As Jesus was preparing to die on the cross, he's taught them many things, he's gone about, he's about to die on the cross, and he holds his Passover meal, and he says, I have eagerly desired to eat this meal with you before I will not actually, you know, from here, I'm just basically going to go straight to the cross. And what does he do with that meal? What is so important that they have to experience? He washes their feet. He serves them. And says to Peter, unless you let me wash you, you have no part in me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to be a servant and to own that. And I don't mean to be trodden on and to seek ways to, you know, to be a doormat. That's not what we're talking about. This is a chosen service. He chooses to honor his neighbor. He chooses to wash their feet. He deliberately takes the place and serves. So what are some of the challenges to this? Why is this so difficult? Because it is. And if I was honest, I find this difficult. And as we talk about it with different people, it's really hard at times to do this. And I'm not talking just about serving in church. This is serving, of which serving in church is but one part. This is in your neighborhood, in your places. Well, one of the challenges that I think many people would say, I'm just too busy to serve. Have you seen my workload at the moment? Have you seen the things that are coming up in my, have you seen my uni exams? I mean, seriously, I'm going to be lucky to get to the exam. I just haven't got time. It is a challenge. But as followers of Jesus, it is something we are called to do. This is not something that sort of fits into the dregs of our time. You know, you put together your schedule, you put together everything, and everything's on there, and then you go, all right, now where am I going to go weed my neighbor's garden? Let me just think about that. No, no, this is actually prioritizing and going, how do I actually just make serving people part of my everyday life? How do I find opportunity? Maybe you know a work colleague who always arrives at a certain time and they always do something straight away, you know, put on the kettle, turn on, go get some milk or whatever that might be. Could you arrive 5 minutes early and turn the kettle on for them? Could you be strategic in the way you do that? Maybe there's something that your spouse or maybe one of your family members does like consistently, and it's not going to be World War III if you did it for them, because that can also happen. And you might just step in and go, you know what, I'm going to beat them to it 1 week and I'm going to serve them. I'm going to unload the dishwasher today because I know that it'll happen later otherwise, and I'm going to surprise my spouse by doing it. Finding time doesn't mean carving out a huge moments. It's just being intentional. It's actually having a mindset of, can I find a place to serve today? one little thing. Find one little moment maybe this week, one little moment maybe every month. It's having a listen when your friends are talking about certain things going on and being intentional to recognize that Jesus didn't make this optional. Are we going to stand before Jesus and go, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get around to the whole serving you thing. I was too busy. That'll be a fun conversation. Here's another one. Another challenge is actually building relationships. Again, we're busy, but actually having the chance to hear from someone on how we can serve them. Actually building a relationship over enough time that we get to know the things that would actually help them. Taking the time to invest in others. And there'll be seasons of life where you do more of that than others. But again, it's a mindset. Actually invest in serving others by getting to know them so that you will hear and know how you could serve them. I want you to think of your best friend. Who's the person you are closest to in this life? I guarantee you could think right now of something that would bless them. Because they're your best friend. You know what's going on for them. You know the challenges that they're facing at the moment. You know the things that are happening in their life. And because you know those things, you could serve them. So what would it look like to take that a little bit, maybe a step back and go, could I just enlarge that circle a little bit? And could I look to build relationships closely enough with others? And here's the challenge. It actually means slowing down life. It actually means taking some time to take a breath and go, maybe I can't do all the things I want to do, but let's do a few things well so that I can invest in those people. Here's another one in our culture today. It's not always accepted. You might offer to serve and they might actually say, I don't want you to do that. So it's actually taking the risk. Now, I'm someone who says no for people. I don't like no, so if I don't ask you the question, you can't say no to me. It's a winning deal. It's great. Except that means that I sometimes have robbed people of the opportunity to do things, things they would have said yes to, or I've robbed them of me being able to serve them because I've been so afraid they might not want it that I don't ask. And then later on, I might be in passing, oh yeah, you know I was going to offer to do that. Oh my goodness, that would have been a lifesaver. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. To take the risk. Okay, they say no. All right, look for another one. Take the risk and offer to help. Here are three ways to actually practically do this. One is serve your neighbor. I kind of alluded to this before. So who is your neighbor? Jesus basically gives the example of it's almost anyone that you're sort of in around. It's probably your enemy or someone who you might be far from. But an easy way of thinking about it is, who are the people you live with? Who are the people you work with? Who are the people you play with? Who are those that you're in a sort of sphere of influence with? Find strategic ways to just add little acts of service. I remember when I was doing, I was a bit younger and I used to do Red Frogs. That's a group who goes out at leavers time, but they also used to use some uni stuff. And I was a college student or I was studying at the time and we used to go to the place that they lived and do what we called random acts of pancakes. It was great. So, uni students often were too busy or just, neglectful of buying food. So they either couldn't afford it or they forgot to go to the shops. So we'd come in and we'd cook up these pancakes and they'd be like, you mean these are free? Like, I don't have to pay for these? You're just going to give us pancakes? And it was amazing. They were grateful. We were grateful. We got to have a good old chat. And it wasn't that complicated. We just fit it in. We had to eat and we got to eat pancakes. It was great. Who are those people? Who are those places? Maybe it's not changing what you're doing, but it's taking a new mindset into those places. All right, maybe serving them is too much, but what about serving with them? Okay, someone might say no to you serving them because they don't want to sort of lower that. They kind of feel like they're beneath you or it's not okay. I can't have you do that. That wouldn't be right. Okay, So what about serving with your neighbor? What about offering to help them do something that they're already doing, or maybe asking them to come and help you in something that you might do to serve them? This is a really good way to build relationships. They may not be willing to let you do it for them, but many will actually be willing to do it with you. So find ways to do that. And then the third one, this might seem like a strange one, but actually this is an important one. And I think we as followers of Jesus need to take the lead on this. Let others serve you. When they come and offer to serve you, actually let them. Do you have to let them? No, that's part of what makes it serving, is they're actually they're willing to do it, not because it has to be done, but because they could. It actually takes humility to serve. It takes humility to let somebody serve you. Part of Peter's problem with why he was saying to Jesus, like, I couldn't possibly let you serve me, because that would be like letting you, I actually have to let you put yourself in that position. I'm not letting the Lord do that. So one of the ways that you can actually serve others is let them serve you. Be willing to allow them to step into doing things that you probably could do, but actually it's going to enrich the relationship if you let them step in that place. So coming up, we're going to put this into practice. This is one of those times where we don't just want this to be something that you hear and go, all right, yep, cool, great, good message, all right, let's get back to work this week. In 2 Sundays' time, we don't have church. At least we don't have a church service. And this is like a big deal in many places. It's kind of like, you never don't do church, because what if they don't come back? Or what if you have visitors come that day and you don't have a service for them to come to? That will be the week you get those families that are looking to connect. And if you don't do a service, you're not going to... That's how important this is to us, to live out this. So there are two ways that you can engage in our Engage Day. I wanted to make it easy. Either, if you've got something that you know you could do, maybe you've been looking at your neighbor's garden for weeks and going, I could weed that for them, and maybe ask them first, because otherwise they might call the cops. But if you've got that relationship and they're willing to let you, do that on that Sunday. Maybe you've got a friend who's going through a tough time and they really need to go out for a coffee. You can serve them and you can actually meet our Engage Day by going and having coffee with them. Maybe there's something you've been putting off for your parents for a while and it needs to be done and they need to be served. Maybe you could do that day. So that's one. If you know something already, you're like, I know exactly what I could do with that day. This is what I'm going to do. Great. Do it. Go to our website, austincovechurch.com.au, and then you'll be able to follow the links. I wish I'd put that link up there, but I can find that for you later. But follow through the menus. It's got Engage Day. Let me know, because I'd like to be able to sort of know how we're engaging in this space. If you're sitting here going, yeah, okay, I like the idea, but what on earth can I do? We have set some stuff up at the school here. We approached the school and said, hey, could we serve you? Now, the school provides everything to us for free. We have a room that we use at the moment that's for free. We can print as much as we want for free. We use this building for free. They do so much to support us. So we want to actually give back to that. So we said, hey, what could we do? And so they've put together some things. There's some painting that needs doing, so feel free to rock up on that day in some sort of fairly casual clothes. There's some painting. There's some mulching that needs doing. There's some general sort of pickup, because there's a lot of work going on. So there's some, you know, walking around, finding some litter, some general tidying up of some rooms and some places. So anyone who has nothing to do themselves on the day, please come here for 10 o'clock. So normal service time. Come here for 10 o'clock. From 10 to 11, we'll go around and do the things we need to do, and then we'll probably just set up the morning tea cart. There won't be a full morning tea, but we'll set up the morning tea cart so we can come back together at 11 o'clock and just enjoy some morning tea together. So really love you to invest in this day. It's not a sleeping day unless you're getting coffee with someone later in the day. It's not an excuse to just have a Sunday off. We really want this, and this is something we're going to do twice a year. Moving forward, there's different ways that we're going to look to do it. but we'd love for you to engage in the Engage Day as we look to put into practice what it means to serve the other. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you did not come to be served, but you came to serve. We thank you that you did the ultimate service by dying for us. So we pray now as we look to put flesh onto that in our own lives, help us to live out the model that you gave us, that we too would serve others. We pray for our Engage Day that's coming up. We pray you'd help us to make a difference here at the school, or maybe make a difference in the lives of the people that we're around. Help us to have an attitude of service in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.